All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check it out. Bunch of local folks doing local podcasts and having a great time. Super proud of all of them. Great group to be involved, part of. I love it. Got some new podcasts starting, I think, in March. Terrell, I don't know what his podcast, I know what it's called, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to, in case he changes his mind. But we're looking forward to that. There's a couple other people I think want to start podcasting. If you're interested, reach out. It's Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. Hope everyone's having a great day. Well, it's pretty early, so not much could go wrong yet, right? I wanted to podcast yesterday, the day after the Super Bowl, and we did podcast, but it wasn't for this podcast. It was our Pearl Jam podcast, In Too Deep, a Pearl Jam fan-based podcast. It's like Pearl Jam, check it out. We got into it. Well, Carlos and I didn't get into it, but we got into it about, you know, the Super Bowl and stuff like that. But it was a great game. I mean, you know, unless you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I never feel like... the game last year was pretty good, but to me, the Super Bowl isn't always the greatest game. I mean, it can be fine. It can be a good game, but, you know, the playoffs are usually where it's, you know, it can be exciting. You know, favored teams can lose. Teams that aren't as favored can win, you know, change it up a bit. I didn't particularly think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I was a little shocked about that. But you know what? Then there's, because I've always been, week two, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I love the Kansas City Chiefs. I love Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey. I mean, I love all those, Tyreek, those amazing team, right? But when it gets down to the final game and you're playing like, you know, Tom Brady, and everybody hates Tom Brady. I hate Tom Brady. Well, do you? Do you hate Tom Brady? Or are you just a little envious of Tom Brady? I mean, anybody that looks at me and says, I'm not envious of Tom Brady, is lying. I mean, how could you have, now what, 7 Super Bowl rings, married to a supermodel, which isn't as important, he's got a great wife, but, you know, Giselle, great kids, huge house, great life, you know, keeps his shit straight. At least we haven't seen any. I don't think Tom's ever really, or Tom Brady, I shouldn't call him by Tom. Mr. Brady. If he's gotten himself in any jams, we haven't seen it. He looks pretty, you know, spotless for the last however many years he's been playing. And when it comes down to the game, and then, you know, despite who you want, when all of a sudden, you know, Tom Brady starts to win, and it was not given to him. That guy, he fought for it and won it. It was great. The team won it. But it was fun. I mean, whatever. We had got to go to my in-laws and have some food. And we actually went over there around 3:30 and then got home and then watched the game at home. A couple of things I took away from the Super Bowl. One, obviously, you know, not a lot of people, right? A lot of cutouts and stuff. You know, through all this pandemic and everything, the NFL is somehow, and even through like Black Lives Matter and all the uprising of folks that were unhappy with different things, you know, somehow the NFL made it through that pandemic. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen their financials, but they put on a great show. And one of the first things I noticed was that, you know, I don't know if you like the halftime show. I personally loved the halftime show. I thought the freaking Weeknd was awesome. One of the best halftime shows I've ever seen. And not just because, I'm not a big fan of the Weeknd. In fact, the only reason I've become a little bit more of a fan of the Weeknd since the Super Bowl, but I've only been interested in him sort of because my son and his friends are huge, especially my son, huge fan of The Weeknd, loves The Weeknd. So, you know, as a father, you're like, I just want to kind of, you know, stay involved a little bit. keep my ear out for some new music that my son enjoys. And, you know, not the music I was listening to at 15, but listen, it's what's new, it's what's happening, and it's what he's into. So, you know, I pay attention. So all week we're like, you know, the weekend's going to be playing. And you know, so first of all, I thought the weekend did a great job. Love the music. And the other thing that I noticed is, you know, in the past, you know, what is it, 500 people it takes to kind of manage that halftime show? I mean, these giant crowds pushing chunks of stage around and pushing things and carrying lights and wire and cable. And, you know, you get a little glimpse of it. You know, at some point, like when it was Lady Gaga or Coldplay or I forget who did it last year. Lady Gaga was my favorite, by the way. I thought she was great. You know, there's usually a giant swarm of people that come out on the stage and then wave flashlights. You know, it's epic. Looks great. But this year, they obviously couldn't do that. You know, they couldn't have thousands of volunteers and thousands of employees pushing stage chunks around. So they figured a way around it, and they kind of built a stage at the end of the field there in Tampa Bay. And the show was great. Figured out how to make it work. And, you know, in the beginning of his show, I'm like, you know, you like this because your son likes it. You know, it is what it is. But the weekend won me over. I thought it was awesome. So, number two, the commercials. You know, I don't know what the, you know, behind the scenes were for the commercials, the price of the commercials. But we saw a lot of different kinds of commercials this year. And a lot of them, I felt like, were trying to have a real positive message about bringing this country back, you know, just getting back to kind of where we think we're supposed to be. I don't know. I've talked about it before. Is 2020 or 2019, you know, back to normal? Or was 2019, 2020 the peak of just excess? I mean, that's what we do. We like excess. I think that there's some sort of, you know, where you feel like you're successful, the more excessive you are. The more excess, the more success. And this pandemic has really put a, you know, when you're riding your bike and someone sticks a stick in your front wheel, yeah, shuts it down and tossed us off. But here we are, you know, and we just watched, you know, one of the greatest Super Bowls I've seen. Watching the game and halftime and through all of it, if I really didn't understand or know what was going on, I wouldn't have known that there was a pandemic, right? I would have wondered why all the cutouts, but, you know, we got through it. And so a lot of the commercials, and the one that I want to really talk about especially was the one, the Bruce Springsteen. I'm going to call it a Bruce Springsteen commercial. It was actually a Jeep commercial. And if you saw it, then you know, it was a great message. Let's get back to the center. You know, I guess there's a town in the center of the United States, and there's a little chapel. And according to Bruce Springsteen, the chapel's always open. And his message was, let's get back to center. Let's get back from the far right. Let's get back from the far left. And let's all try to find center and celebrate freedom. Freedom. I mean, I get confused about freedom. I think people are confused about freedom because, of course, we have our, you know, we're, as Americans, we're free, right? We can say what we want. We can go where we want, you know, to a certain extent. But we have freedom. But I feel like there's a message that we're missing that I, you know, I'm missing. I'm not going to speak for the whole country. But I think that there's more for me as a person that's sober, wants to stay sober, and is always constantly in the hunt for serenity, that I wonder if freedom is something that we get back or if there's something else that we work on and the byproduct is freedom.
How can I turn away? Brother, sister, go dancing through my head. Human as to human, the future is no place to place your better day. Cry, freedom, cry from my crowd, 10,000 wide. Let this flag burn to dust, and a new, our fair design be raised. While we wait, head in hands, hands in prayer, and fall into a dreamless sleep again.
From deep inside. Dave. What's up, Dave? Little cry of freedom. You know what? I wanted to read, you know, last week I was talking about, and I'm still, you know, I was talking about this with a friend of mine yesterday about this. And it says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. What? Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There it is right there. I'm probably gonna get hung up on this prayer for a bit, and I'm kind of learning and starting to pay attention to this prayer more than I really ever have. Just like you. 12 years of sobriety, fucking battling this shit since 97. And today, it's actually not today. It's been a few weeks, but I've really, you know, and I say the prayer all the time, but, you know, starting to think about the prayer. And like I said the other day, and I said to my buddy Paul yesterday, I go, the ultimate prayer, right? If I'm going to send one prayer to God and you know, God, grant me money, or God, grant me this, or God, grant me freedom. But no, it says, God, grant me the serenity to acceptance, the things I cannot change, courage, to accept, to, what was it? Whenever I break it down, there's a cadence to this prayer, and I always get it screwed up. All right. To change the things I can, courage. To change the things I can, and wisdom. To know the difference. But this part I haven't really read. There's actually a lot to this prayer, and I don't want to read it. I mean, okay, I'll read it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things. So actually, this is called prayer for serenity. I've always called it the serenity prayer, but the prayer for serenity. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Listen, I'm not religious, but that's fucking awesome right there. I mean, seriously. How much freedom do you get from just mouthing those words? I mean, if you're like, if you aren't a God person, if you, you know, I've talked about this, you know, I also, a big hang up that I had with God is that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Every day, all day. You know, according to the Bible, you know, do I have, you know, thoughts, you know, I don't, you know, I try to be a good person, but listen, we're all sinners. And according to the Bible and according to this, a sinner goes where? Hell. Oh, hell no. So why would I have a relationship with something that's going to send me to hell? So right away, I'm not free. I'm free as far as everything else but that. You know, I've been working, don't ask me why, but I love playing Minecraft. I know it's for kids, whatever. I don't think it's for kids. I think it's, you know, my father, 83-year-old father, and I built a big realm on Minecraft, and we, you know, we play on there. And it's just for my dad and I and Sam. Well, any of the boys, if anybody wants, and actually the realm is for anybody. If someone would like to be on our realm, you can come on. But, you know, like in the mornings, or I'll see my dad's been planting shit and building things. And I'm like, all right. You know, sometimes I just know my dad's all right through Minecraft. But in Minecraft, I like building mob farms. I'm fascinated by these. If you're familiar with Minecraft, you're basically a sandbox world. You do whatever you want. Blocks. Super fun. But you have monsters. Mobs, they call them. Mobs. And I like building these farms that somehow gather all the mobs into one spot and then kill them and take all their drops, so like TNT and different things. If you don't know what Minecraft is, never, just ignore this, fast forward. But the point is, you know, I went down and I dug this huge cavern, you know, because I was going to build this giant mob farm underground, and then I couldn't remember how to do it, and then I researched it and I found I could do another one, and it ended up using just a corner, 19 blocks by 19 blocks of this huge area I'd made. But once I built the mob farm, I'm not free to go there. I'm not allowed to go to the mob farm because if I go in there, I'm going to get killed. It's a lot like this. It's a lot like I'm going to use, you know, G-O-D. You know, you're only as free as the stuff that you want to be involved in, right? I mean, you know, you can't if let's see, how can I say this? We're not free of everything. And we pick and choose. You know, like well, right now, clearly, we're not free to do a lot of stuff. But prior to this, you know, I mean, I can go to a bar. I choose not to. I just don't feel there's any reason for me to be at a bar, even just driving home or there to a bar. You know, I mean, I'm free to do it, but it's not really something that I do. So I've chosen not to kind of get in that. So I'm not really free to do that. I mean, we make our freedom. And I guess the point of this was I felt like the commercials, like, listen, let's get back to freedom. Or, back to center. And there are some great points about that. You know, if you're so far right or if you're so far left, you are pretty much a prisoner to that. Right? You're not, I mean, if you're extreme, you're definitely not available to have a conversation, right? About the other. So we have, you know, freedom is an interesting thing. But the Serenity Prayer creates a lot of freedom. But you have to surrender. And that doesn't make any sense. Why would you surrender to become free? How do you do that? And it says it right here. God, grant me the serenity. The ultimate prayer, the ultimate request, the person you're going to, the big CEO, the big G-O-D, you're asking for one thing. God, grant me serenity. To accept the things I cannot change. If my father and I, you know, my dad's right, I'm middle left, so to speak. But if my dad can't pull out of the right and I can't pull out of the middle left, we're missing a giant part of our relationship. So to accept the things that I cannot change, if I cannot change my dad's perspective, what I do is I adjust. I realize, don't talk about that. Don't bring that up. Because at some point, the courage to change the things I can has come up. And I remember the relationship that I had with my dad at one point. And we really, you know, it was one of those kind of relationships that you just didn't really care about. Like, we got another day, right? We got another year. We got another 10 years. We'll figure it out. You know, we don't need to preserve this relationship. We'll just go as we will. But at some point, I had to have the courage to change that. And so did my father, really. He just didn't realize it. But I remember coming to him, and I remember getting in an argument with him. And at that same point where I'd walk out, go fuck yourself, Dad, whatever, I stopped. Because I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted to be there for my father. I wanted to be there for my mother. And honestly, at the time, I had the courage to surrender my feelings, surrender my ego, and turn around and walk back to my father and say, listen, we don't have a lot of time left. Can we somehow figure out a way, or can I figure out a way to be better? And maybe I'm asking you if you can find a way to be better, because I don't want this to be the end of our, I don't want this to be our final chapter. And really, I was doing it because my mother, you know, when my father and I would fight, boy, she would get really upset. She would scream, stop yelling. But I had to have that courage, right? The courage to change the things that I can. And I could do that. I could at least try. Because if I hadn't turned, now I'm not free to have that relationship with my father. Lost that freedom, right? And the wisdom to know the difference. Hey, what's that? Maturity? Humility? I mean, that's a big one, right? And I remember when my dad and I got in that fight and I said, listen, you're playing. I said, you know, probably not as clear as day as this, but, you know, I had to think, listen, man, you are part of this problem. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I'd have been like, my dad is an asshole. Fuck him. But over time, getting sober, working on a program, working on serenity, I've learned. And I've created a little wisdom in my 52-year-old little pea brain. And the wisdom that I had learned for that situation is, Tom, you're playing a role in this. You're not a victim. You're lucky your dad gives you the time of day at this point in your life. I had no gratitude. I expected what I got. Of course I'm going to get this. It's my parents. You know, as an entitled, spoiled, fucking, self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. But over time of working on a program and being around the program and having people in my life like, you know, Ron M. and Matt and, you know, Scott and James and all these my good friends have not only sober or choosing not to drink, but trying to have some serenity. And that wisdom was like, Tom, you play a role in this. Maybe if you concede your role, maybe your father will concede his role, and maybe we can get back to having freedom. Is that the kind of freedom as Bruce Springsteen was talking about? Is that kind of freedom as important as the freedom that Bruce Springsteen was talking about? Or am I such a simple-minded person that I can be so taken by the music and the photography and the star of Bruce Springsteen telling me that, you know, we need to get back and fight for our freedom? I mean, right here, the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. This sucks. It's hard. I don't like it. That's it. That's how I was. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. I love that. Taking as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life. Right there, reasonably. Not amazingly. Just give me a half and half. And supremely happy with you forever in the next. You know, I skirt around this religion thing. I'm not religious. I'm not religious. And I guess I don't know really why I'm not. You know, it's a big commitment. But I love that reading. And I love trying to figure out, I mean, I think we all, you know, I think it's important that we know that we're free to travel and go about where we would like. But there is another freedom, and it's freedom from us. It's freedom from self. And this pandemic, all this stuff that's gone on, we've been a prisoner to self, right? Self's really having a tough time right now. You know, we went to walk. My wife and I got in a bit of a dust up this morning, a little bit. And part of our problem is that I find that I'm just doing so much. And my wife lets me. Which is fine, because that's just, I've created that. Right? You know, if you tell someone or ask someone to do something, they do it, and then they're always doing it. And you're like, well, this is fine, right? Hey, he's doing it. Why not let him? I am unfortunately, like, I'm not pre-wired to be amazing, so I'm constantly, and it's been a problem in my life, but I'm a people pleaser. You know, I like things, you know, easy does it. Let's just smooth it. Let's cruise right along. What do you need done? But then there's times where, you know, people could step in and don't. And sometimes it just kind of rubs me the wrong way, and I feel a little bit taken advantage of. I feel like a little bit of a victim, right? I can't believe this. But I've allowed it. You can't, it's like opening, it's like having a broken fence and having an animal come in your yard and, you know, running around the yard every day, and then all of a sudden when you kick the animal because you're mad it's in your yard, you've been allowing it. The animal has no idea. It doesn't understand. It's like, dude, it's been fine. It was fine yesterday. It was fine the day before. But all of a sudden you get a stick up your ass, and then you toss the animal out of your yard, and you're like, you're mad. That's kind of like how relationships are. you know, we allow stuff. And then at some point, we're like, I've had it. But we, you know, we figured it out. We had a conversation about it. But this morning, you know, we went to Wawa, and the guy working in Wawa has his face mask and his nose out. What's so annoying, what's been annoying about this whole thing is watching people get upset about things, you know. You need your face mask on. But I was irritated about the conversation that I had with my wife this morning, and all of a sudden I was a little different, right? And I told the guy, I go, listen, you should just not wear a mask if your nose is going to be hanging out. I didn't need to say that. Or did I? I mean, I was nice. I mean, it's a point, right? We can't go into that store without a mask. So why should the employee not have the mask? Any other day, I wouldn't have made it my business. But I wasn't feeling very serene. I wasn't feeling very humble. And, you know, instead of refraining from pen and tongue, I chose to say something. And then as soon as it came out, I felt like I shouldn't have said something. But it's freedom, right? And, I mean, there is something to it. I mean, if we're going to have to wear these masks. I'm just really, you know, I guess the whole point of this is that sometimes I think that I see one thing and I'm not really, I don't see the trees through the forest, right? Or the forest through the trees or whatever. You know, I feel like I'm seeing one thing and I'm really missing it. And fortunately and unfortunately, freedom and working on our freedom and identifying our freedom is a big part of, for me, about staying sober. It's not that I need the freedom. It's that I have the wisdom to look at everything and try to understand it. Acceptance, courage, wisdom. It's a big deal. And I work on these things. And then, you know, I could have, like, I mean, the argument that my wife and I had this morning, you know, we got into it a little bit and then we kind of cleaned it up at the end. I could have kept that all day. And honestly, just that thought, I wouldn't have been free of anxiety or stress. I'd have been thinking about it. It wouldn't have allowed me to have a peaceful, serene day, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Let me do this reading. What am I reading? Oh, Daily Reflections. Hold on. Daily Reflections. If this thing talks about freedom, I'm going to fall over. Daily Reflections. Okay, here we go. Okay, February 9th. Getting the spiritual angle. Yeah, I think that's angle. How often do we sit in AA meetings and hear the speaker declare, but I haven't yet got the spiritual angle? Prior to the statement, he had described a miracle of transformation which had occurred in him. Not only his release from alcohol, but a complete change in his whole attitude towards life and the living of it. It is apparent to nearly everyone else present that he has received a gift, except that he doesn't seem to know it yet. We well know that this questioning individual will tell us 6 months or a year hence that he has found faith in God. A spiritual experience can be the realization that a life which once seemed empty and devoid of meaning is now joyous and full. In my life today, daily prayer, meditation, coupled with living with the 12 steps, has brought about an inner peace and feeling of belonging which was missing when I was drinking. Do I dare say freedom? From deep inside.
tall child in the mess room. That's the tall child, she would remain. Until someone might decide to dance this little child across this hall. Sure.